Good morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise. I'm with Forgotten Word Ministries, and we want to continue on today about do Christians are they persecuted? Should they be persecuted? Are they persecuted at all for believing what they believe? Things of that nature. We talked yesterday about how the Bible mentions in 3:12 how indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's what the verse talks about, and that whole chapter talks about who we are and what's going on, how what we've learned, what we should stay steadfast in, and that's our belief in the Lord and in the gospel, and that also because of our steadfast belief in the gospel we will be persecuted. We won't be accepted very readily by mankind. Today churches all around the country, 40,000 people attend a church down in Texas. You got churches all over the United States that have 10,000 and up in them. You've got umpteen thousands of churches in the United States that have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 up to 8,000, 10,000. I mean, people are attending church all over the country, and it's becoming an okay thing, and it's becoming an okay thing because of what they actually teach. They're not teaching the full, by and large, that is, they're not teaching the full gospel of the Lord. When we talk about being persecuted, I talked about how, we believe in the Old Testament and how God, had people killed and this, things of this nature, and that it was okay. But we certainly don't want any of that for our time, not today. And when you look up, there's all kind of different descriptions and beliefs about how the disciples were killed, how they lived their life, and how they were persecuted, and how how they died is where the big controversy on a lot of it goes about how did they actually die. But one thing we want to keep in mind, that it's stop and think about that not only the apostles, but the new Christians of the first years of the Christianity, they suffered tremendously. They were the first of the church of God, God's church on earth. They were followers of Jesus, and there was a lot of persecution. Those people suffered greatly. I was reading on an article, and it was talking about how the book of Revelation spoke to these, this directly and assured them that while persecution would continue, in the end, Christianity cannot be defeated because we have put our faith in Jesus and he is able to deliver us even after death. And that's where I think so many of us fall short of understanding, is that we are not going to get our reward while we're still alive here on earth. Our reward comes afterwards. So even though we are persecuted, even though some of us may die, keep in mind that we still win. And the problem is nobody wants to, everybody wants to win today. Nobody wants to win later. Everybody wants their reward now. The preachers teach you that you are a winner. You are supposed to be a winner. You deserve to be a winner. No, you don't deserve anything except hell and damnation is what you deserve. Every Christian that I've talked to all believe that they don't deserve to be, if you ask them just point blank, do we even deserve anything in life really? Because before we became Christians, no. They believe that, we were sinners and we were deserving of death. But then they stop and they say, but since I accepted Jesus, now I've become righteous. I've become holy in his sight. So now I deserve everything. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's never said it. It's not going to say it because it is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Bible does not change, just man's interpretation changes. And then man sometimes rewrites the Bible to fit their own wants, wishes, and everything. But faith continues as a shining beacon to encourage us. Their faith did, I should say, from the first Christians and also the disciples and the followers of Christ back in the Bible days, New Testament days. you know, their faith continues as a shining beacon to encourage us in our struggle. Because, you know, we find ourselves in a very perverse world. Our world today is in worse shape than ever in the history of this planet. And it's steadily falling farther and farther from the truth of God's Word. If you can't see that, something's wrong, folks. This world is a mess. You would think that with all the churches there is in the United States, all the preachers there is in the United States, all of the preachers on TV and the internet and the through the postage and email, that as many people as they're reaching, you would think this would be the most godly nation you ever met in your whole life. And our nation is not very godly anymore, folks. Sad to say. Makes me sick to have to say it. And it's sad. It's shameful. Our country is not what I would term as a Christian nation. We've allowed ourselves to fall so far away from the Lord, and a lot of us because we're not willing to stand up for God's word. We don't want to be persecuted, so therefore we've adapted to change as the world changes so we can be accepted by the world, where we forgot we're supposed to be separate from the world, accepted by God. See how we've turned everything around? Now we want to be accepted by the world. Well, that's just not right. It's wrong. And any, I'm not just saying it ain't right, there's ought to be something done about it. There's more to it than that. It ain't right because it just ain't right. When you look back, here's some thoughts on some of these the followers of the Lord in the early days of Christianity. You know, you had Matthew, Mark, you know, Luke, you know, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, you know, Judas and James, a lot of us. Judas, you know, we know that he, we believe that he committed suicide. There are some that, you know, said there's a contradiction to that. You know, Matthew 27:3-8 and Acts 1:18 tells us what became of Judas. But anyway, that's for another time. We'll get into that. But anyway, I'm giving you some ideas of what is tradition maybe as to what happened. James, it says Acts 12:2 actually tells us the end of James. So soon after Christianity had gotten started, he was the first martyr among the apostles. Herod Agrippa had him put to death by the sword. He saw that it pleased the Jews, so he decided to do the same to Peter, but Peter was saved by a miracle. Clemens and Eusebius tell of his death, and when the executioner witnessed the courage and unrecanting spirit of James, he was convinced of Christ's resurrection and was executed along with James. And some say that that's doubtful, but if it's true, it's certainly a statement to the steadfast spirit of the apostles from that day, that's for sure. Andrew says he might have been martyred in Achaia of Patrae, both of which are places in the western part of Greece. According to the Catholic Encyclopedia, it's generally agreed that he was crucified by orders of the Roman governor, Aegeus or Aegeates, at Patrae in Achaia, and that he was bound, not nailed, to the cross in order to prolong his suffering. The cross on which he suffered is commonly held to have been the Desiccate cross, now known as St. Andrew's, though there's, you know, seems to be views that it's not that actually old of a cross. But anyway, we're actually, you know, just talking about how they might have died. Bartholomew, it says, it's tradition and legend, but it's in keeping with what would one expect from the apostles. It says, and when he had thus spoken, the king was informed that this god Baldad and all the other idols had fallen down and were broken in pieces. Then the king rent the purple in which he was clothed and ordered the holy apostle Bartholomew to be beaten with rods, and after having been thus scourged, to be beheaded. You know, there was a writer, Eusebius, a Christian writer in the 4th century, said Bartholomew traveled to India to preach to the people there, leaving behind a copy of the Gospel of Matthew. We don't know for sure, like I say, which one of those tales is true about what happened. But anyway, James, the son of Alphaeus, according to Fox's Book of Martyrs, he was beaten, stoned, and clubbed to death. Peter says he was crucified. Thomas, he was thrust through with pine spears, and then tortured with red-hot plates on his body, and finally burned alive. But he would not deny Christ, even though he had denied Christ, remember, in the beginning. Philip, he was tortured and crucified, and also some say that he was stoned. Matthew, it says that he was slain with a halberd in the city of Nadaba in AD 60. Simon historians tell the many different places of Hymen Priest, but it says his final resting came when he verified his testimony and went to be with Christ, being crucified by a governor in Syria. Judas Thaddeus said he was preaching the risen Christ to those in Mesopotamia in the midst of pagan priests, and he was beaten to death with sticks. John, he's the one that never died a violent death. He did have a lot of violence and persecution. A lot of things happened to John, boiled and everything, but he made it through it. He actually died of an old age, but he was tortured and suffered greatly. So, all these guys they suffered and were persecuted, and the Christians that believed, the people that believed in them who became followers of Christ, who we call Christians, lots of them were tortured and persecuted, men and women alike. But yet today, in 2012, it's a common teaching in the churches today that we are not to suffer any kind of persecution because we're of the holy class with Jesus, and therefore we won't be persecuted in any way, shape, or form. We are here as righteous people and holy people, and we're going to live forever and ever happy here on earth with our heaven here on earth, and then heaven again when we die. Well, it's like I've said many times, it's just not the way it's going to be, people. And I plead with you out there. I plead with you who hear me, who understand what I'm trying to say in my stuttering way. I wish I was more, I wish I was a good speaker, somebody who really could orate to the people to get them to understand in a more fluid manner. But I plead with you that if you believe and understand what I'm saying, that you take up a torch and you go out and you start witnessing to people. When you're in conversations with folks and fellow Christians alike, witness to them and explain to them that we have to start standing up for Christ. And if we do not start standing up boldly for Christ and being willing to take whatever's thrown at us to proclaim His true word, we're going to continue on the downward slope that we're on now. And it's just going to get slippery, whatever word you want to use there. But it's going to get terrible. We're going to slide down that slippery slope until we have no way to get back up, because we're allowing ourselves to fall away from the Lord. We're allowing ourselves to follow away from His word. And when we turn our back on Him, He turns His back on us, because He will spew us out of His mouth if we're not going to be steadfast for Him. He made that very clear. We have to be hot, not cold, for the Lord, and not lukewarm. We've got to be on fire for the Lord. That's our command, is to preach the gospel to all nations. So be willing to stand up. Be willing to take a stand. Be willing to show that you really do believe in Christ. You follow Christ. You love Christ. And you want everyone else to love Christ and to hear His word. And you're willing to take whatever's thrown at you, but you're going to stand up and be steadfast in your faith and take whatever persecution comes to you, but you're going to stand up for the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Listen, we'll talk to you tomorrow. I hope I've got some of this across to somebody. Praise the Lord. God love each one of you. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.